It's 4:30, and this is KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. I am Luke Nessler with a special show for you this afternoon here on KDNK. It's no secret there's a lot of smoke in the air, so we'll be talking about that and other fire-related issues. And to do that, I want to introduce Diane Argenzio. Hi, Diane.
Hey, Luke. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm all right, other than being a little smoky.
You're a resident of the Mid-Valley, and you have close proximity to what's going on. So tell me more about your experience with the fire.
Well, I have more than I wish that I would have. I live in the Elgibel Mobile Home Park. I'm two blocks below two of the homes that burnt to the ground. And I'm hosting this show since I'm hearing and seeing many folks in the area unsure of what's really going on and still in shock and trauma, which in a way I am, which is a form of PTSD. There's a lot of uncertainty and a good deal not understood. Personally, I've been feeling a lot of anguish and confusion, depression, being very forgetful, and uncertainty where I stand. It's still hard to concentrate. At times I feel helpless and discombobulated and a loss of appetite. Then there's the tightness in my chest and wakeful sleeping. I had to stop running and I have to wear a mask to be outside. I finally shared all of this with my neighbor and said I feel as though I'm going crazy. She's been feeling the same, plus headaches, and felt she was going crazy also. So the more we shared, the less crazy we felt. So I'm here sharing all of this with all of you in case any of you are having similar experiences. As humans, we tend to turn away from what is uncomfortable and what we feel we can't face. When asked how we are, we often just say, "I am fine." Well, a lot of us haven't been fine and are unsure of the ground we stand on. This past Saturday's, when the alert started up of flood warning and pre-evacuation, for those of us near the burned areas, I didn't know what I was supposed to do. The first warning came with no instructions. I felt myself mentally cloud over. We soon after did receive instructions. It's really important to be prepared. I learned that by how I just sat there on my couch going, "What the heck am I supposed to do?" So I've gotten online the information they're giving, have a 72-hour bag ready with a list of last-minute additions like your medications and laptop and what can't be waiting in the bag. Have a list you think you're going to remember and you're not. You're just going to be in a panic. And have a few likely evacuation routes planned, a family communication plan, and a plan for your pets. It's natural to fog over. There's nothing wrong with you in an emergency, especially if you don't know what to do. This will help immensely and you may sleep better. Also be on Pitkin County Alert. You can Google it and you choose what you want alerts for and how you want to receive them. Computer, phone, text. I don't know that the summer will stop feeling like a Twilight Zone version of summer. Normally I like to ride outside, but the smoke is too much for me. I'm finally used to the choppers flying low over my home. Now that there are less of them, the silence is actually eerie. I'm grateful they're here and yet are a reminder of the still burning fire. My evacuation stuff is covered with a cheery tablecloth to help buffer the constant reminder in my hallway. Instead of hoping the smoke and fires go away, I'm coming to terms with how to live with them as best as I can. Even with my doors and windows closed 24/7, the smoke still gets in. To help with the smoke in my lungs, I've been going to Fahrenheit Spa in Willits, one block over from Whole Foods. They have an enclosed salt room where for 45 minutes you sleep, I mean you sit, or you can sleep, in very comfy lounge chairs and breathe 99% pure sodium chloride being diffused into the air. Salt is vital for lung health and improves respiration. It lowers the airways' inflammation, removes pollen, pollutants, toxins, and viral agents for the lungs and nasal tract. It does much more and is listed on their website, which is FAHRENHEIT bodyspa.com. One of the owners has asthma, and since salt treatments, his volume tests have blown a larger volume. So salt is a valuable aid, but not a cure to asthma. The pressure in my chest dissipated, and I was able to breathe deeper. Since my home does have smoke seeping in daily, I will continue to sit in the salt room. Fahrenheit through August is offering the use of the room for $5, which is an incredibly steep discount. Firefighters, no charge. I would make use of their graciousness in being in service to the community. Getting away from the smoke, even for part of a day, can reduce some stress. Just be sure to check where you're going for fires in their area. I've been taking hikes in the evenings. It's cooler and less smoky, even sometimes wearing what I call my wimpy mask, depending on the situation. The masks that keep smoke particles out are rated NIOSH, that's NIOSH, with N95 or a P100 rating. Anything less does not filter out most of the smoke particles. You can find those at pretty much any hardware store. I ordered them through Amazon, so I got a big pack of them, and I hand them out to people. Please take seriously that there is smoke in the air you are breathing. I see next to no one wearing a mask, even on the worst smoky days. I'm finding that even on days where I don't smell it, my eyes can burn, so it's pretty much always there. The Lake Christine fire was reported this morning at 82% containment, having burned 12,588 acres. All remaining pre-evacuations were lifted on Saturday. Meanwhile, the Cache Creek fire, 8 miles southwest of Rifle, began on Saturday as more than 200 acres and 0% contained. Private oil and gas infrastructure is located within 2 miles to the north and east of the fire. The cause remains unknown. The Cabin Lake fire, 5 miles south of Buford, started yesterday, is over 200 acres and 0% contained. The Sulphur fire and Indian Valley fire near Meeker total more than 7,000 acres and are nearing containment. And now I would like to introduce to you my first two speakers. Oh, I didn't mention that this is a call-in show, 963-2976. Stephen Pischke, the liaison officer with the Rocky Mountain Type 2 Incident Management Team. His team is in the valley to help and support the community with vital information. Also here with him is Dawn Sanchez, Public Information Officer. They will talk only about the fire, not flooding, and the after effects of the fire. Welcome, Stephen and Dawn. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
My first question for the two of you is, would you talk about what it means for the fire to be contained? Can it become uncontained? And how long the smoke may be with us? And why?
Yeah, I can start with the containment. We're currently, like you said, at 82%. The containment, what containment means is, as crews go in and construct fire line, and we've been talking about fire line, the ways that we construct fire line, they go in and they continue to secure those fire lines. And as you've seen on, as the public has seen, the lines on the map go from uncontained to contained. They've seen that color go from red to black. And so as they go in and they, what we call work those fire lines, they go in and they look for hot spots along the edges. They construct that line, they secure that line, and sometimes that can take days for that to happen. They can put a line in, takes quite a while for that containment to come forward. So as soon as they're sure that that piece of line is secure, they will call it contained, and they work around the fire, and that's how you see that containment increase. For example, if fire was to burn up next to a road, and it was light grass, it can contain pretty quickly. A line like we're seeing on the top of Basalt Mountain with a lot of heavy down fuels, it's going to take them a lot longer to put all those hot spots out to make that line secure. So containment is just that perimeter that is contained, and it's cool to the touch. There's those containment lines are secure. Within that fire, there's still a lot of stuff on the inside that is unburned, so that will continue to burn on the interior. So there is a chance that that containment can the fire can get out of those containment lines, but it's a very small chance. Firefighters don't want this fire to escape. They want to make sure that that line is secure. So it takes them a while to get that containment in. And once that's done, they get that containment, and then they continue to work the fire and continue to work farther in and cool those hot spots. And so it's over time. So you have containment, then comes the step of controlled, and then comes the step of the fire being out. And the fire usually is out when we have a really good snow. So it takes quite a while for this process to happen. So containment is just the first step to securing that fire. And firefighters will continue to work that fire. And the chance of that fire growing at all, I mean, it lessens basically every day as we work through that.
The security of those lines is measured in a number of feet. So deep into the fire. So if you have standing timber, they want to make sure that they're in far enough so if that particular piece of timber were to fall, it would still fall within that black line that's been created. So there is a depth factor in terms of the creation of those black lines.
Okay. And so then with how long the smoke may be with us, that you just, it'll be as long as it's smoking? I mean, as long as the fire is burning?
It, you know, that really depends on the weather conditions, basically from day to day. So as we get into a period again of some drying, warming temperatures, that smoke has, there's more of a chance for that smoke to be there. If we continue to get the monsoonal moistures, our humidities are higher, that gives the fire, the fire is going to be less active, therefore less smoke. So it really is going to depend on day to day. If you have days where we do have higher fire danger, there is a chance that some of that stuff will continue to burn on the interior. So you will continue to see smoke, but it's really going to depend on the day as to what kind of intensity you're going to have that that smoke.
I think the folks have seen that the fire does not necessarily consume everything as it moves. There are spots of green open areas, and then there's burn areas. Well, that's the way it is in the interior. In between all of those black contained lines, there's still a lot of green space. The fire did not consume all of that. Will it consume it? It just depends on if it's active in the interior. Our goal is to make sure that it can't come out of the interior, and that's why we construct these fire lines to contain the fire itself in that fire footprint.
So it so it pretty much should stay contained unless we get, what, monster winds? Or
Usually before a line is considered contained, firefighters make sure that it goes through some of these windier days where they test those lines and they monitor those as the winds come through. And so there's a lot of factors that go into play before they call a piece of line contained. And I know that you guys have probably seen there was a while where the containment didn't change for a long time. And a change in containment doesn't mean there's a lack of progress on the fire. And so these firefighters were out there every day continuing to work these lines. And as they continue to secure them, you start to see those numbers change. And recently we've seen them change quite a bit. And that's just because they were in there every day working those lines. And finally they felt the lines were at a point where it was secure enough to call it contained. And that's why you saw that gap.
Thank goodness.
Many of our firefighters were on the fire line 24 hours a day. In other words, they spiked out. We created a camp for them in a fire footprint. They did not come back to the incident command post, which is the Basalt High School. They actually stayed out there, and that allowed them to spend more time working on those fire lines. You know, it takes a lot of time. You come into camp, it takes the driving time all the way off the mountain, all the way through the traffic, and then they get back into camp, and then we have to start all over again about getting them back out to the fire again the next day. So for many days, we have had crews spiked out at the fire, and that's how we were able to finally begin to make some serious progress on the containment.
Well, thank goodness for that, because, I mean, I understand their level of being worn out is so different than ours, but nonetheless, I'm worn out.
Absolutely. It's a much different stress than what the community here is going to feel compared to what the firefighters on the ground are feeling. Mm. Much different stress, much different type of, if you say, being tired. Completely different, and none is worse than the other. It's all equal.
We have a work-rest ratio that our firefighters have to maintain. So the maximum number of hours that they can work a day is 16 hours. And then they absolutely have to have a rest period. If you go over that 16 hours for whatever reason, then the next day you may not be able to work that 16 hours. So there's that's called the work rest ratio, and we adhere to that very strongly.
That's a lot of hours to be doing that work. I'm happy they have that rule.
Yeah, it's a lot of hours, but that's what these firefighters do. These crews, they spend all summer basically traveling the nation, going from fire to fire, and a lot of folks out there who love being outdoors, who love serving the public and love our natural resources that are out there, doing something that they absolutely love.
Well, thank you. We actually have to wrap it up. We're not going to get to my next question, but that's all right. Maybe I'll have you back if you're not out gone already.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in and speaking with us and the community. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk with you and your listening audience.
And thanks for having us.
You're so welcome. We're back live, and this is Diane, and my next guest is Alicia Serkin, who is a life coach and founder of the Serkin Creative Living Center. She is also a leading expert, coach, speaker, researcher, and globally published author in the field of Bach flower remedies. She co-authored the internationally recognized Bach flower remedies quick reference guide, and her scientific research on rescue remedy for high situational anxiety is published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. Alicia passionately coaches clients on how to reset their mindset, gain new perspectives, and use self-help strategies and tools for better life. Alicia, welcome. Thank you so much for being here, and we already do have a caller on the line.
Thank you, Diane. I'm so delighted to be here. Appreciate your bringing me in on this hot topic, so to speak.
Yes, it is a hot topic.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on the air.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Diane, excellent show so far, and a whole interesting change-up.
Well, thank you.
Would you reiterate the mask specifications for the smoke? It was a NIOSH, what?
Oh, the mask. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Mask.
NIOSH, NIOSH.
Yes.
And
right.
And I'm turning to my page for that. It's with, the rating is either N95, and that looks like the white ones you see for simple painters,
yep.
But they're heavy
mm-hmm.
duty. And the other one mm-hmm. is a P100. And that's the one with the cylinders on your side. And that's going to really work.
Yeah, those are the right ones if you have any lung issue.
Yes.
I'm interested about the rescue remedy, so thank you.
Oh, well, Alicia is about to...
Yeah, the Bach flowers and the rescue remedy. Thank you.
Alicia is about to... fill your ear with wonderful information.
Wonderful.
Thank you for calling. Okay, Alicia.
Okay. Well, this gentleman that just called in is talking about rescue remedy, and I wanted to introduce the idea of what rescue remedy is. For those listeners that are unfamiliar with the Bach flower remedy system, which, by the way, is not associated with essential oils or aromatherapy or herbs. This is a standalone system that helps correct unwanted and imbalanced states of mind. So that's thoughts, feelings, and attitudes. And if we stop a minute and think about how our life goes, and really the state of our mind really has a lot to do with how our life and our health goes. So being able to shift unwanted or difficult or challenging states of mind or negative states of mind into a greater sense of ease and more positive states is, in effect, a way to help us move through challenging situations like being in fire zones and fire areas and having smoke in our lives and having to make adjustments in our lives and difficult adjustments in our lives. So we do want to keep our mindset, our mind states, as positive as possible so we can get through these challenges with a greater sense of ease.
Alicia, we don't have too much time left, so can you share some of the remedies that people would find most useful with what's going on?
Absolutely. So Rescue Remedy is called the crisis formula or the stress relief formula. So this is a liquid, and it comes in a little dropper bottle. And so we can put Rescue Remedy drops into some water and sip that throughout the day. And what Rescue Remedy does is it helps release generalized stress. It's great for any kind of emergency, accident, great upset. And it is a calmer. It helps calm. It also restores courage to face our worries without the fear. It also helps us feel more in control of our thoughts when we feel a little out of it, you know, out of control because of the life situation of the fires and whatnot that we do not have any control over. The Rescue Remedy also helps with the irritability that comes with being in an uncomfortable situation, like having to smoke in our lives every day. Mm-hmm. It also helps us ground our mind in present moment when we would tend to feel a little foggy or drift off or feel a little bit ungrounded. So Rescue Remedy does a lot of great things and can be very, very useful in everyday life. So we will post, I believe we have planned to post the preparation and dosage on the website. Is that right,
Diane? Yes, on Katie and Kay's website. So we are about one minute? We have 2 minutes out. Folks, you can find what Alicia's talking about and how to make them on the website, maybe by tonight, for sure tomorrow morning. And Alicia is also offering the first person to sign up for a free discovery coaching session on her website, which I will give you, receives a free bottle of Rescue Remedy, the emergency stress relief formula, and must mention Katie and Kay in that email.
In the comments. Mm-hmm.
And it's Sirkin, S-I-R-K-I-N, creativeliving.com. What else do you want to share with us?
Yes, so the remedy that we use to help release feelings of being contaminated and toxic from, for example, the fumes and the smoke, would be the crab apple remedy. So that's a cleansing remedy. It helps our mind feel less toxic and contaminated from the external environment contaminants. And then walnut is the remedy that helps us feel able to adjust to the change in our lives that comes with the fires and the smoke and making it like you were making adjustments in your life activities, right?
Right.
And that can be challenging and difficult, and we kind of feel off of our game, so to speak, when we have to make those changes. It's not comfortable. The walnut helps ease our mind states to the point where we feel less affected by the outside external changes.